Let's all bow before Almighty Yahweh. Our most gracious Father Yahweh, hallowed be your name. We thank and praise you for all that you are in all your creation, for the mercy and love that you show upon us through your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. We're thankful that you've allowed us to see the truth of your word, and we continue to grow in that, and we ask that you teach us, lead and guide us. And for all those that have gathered together here on your Sabbath day, here and throughout the world, to lift up your name in praise and honor through song and through just the presence of assembling together to worship you, we ask that your spirit be with all these individuals scattered throughout the world, that you continue to let us learn of your way and truth and to grow in your wisdom and knowledge, and that you instill it in us from our heart and in our mind, that we can be servants to you and grow and be a glory to you, that we can be vessels that you can work through for your will to be done, and that we ask that your will be done. And we're thankful for Yahshua and his sacrifice. And it's in Yahshua's name we ask and praise and honor you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody may be seated. Greetings. Welcome to each and every one here locally at Holt Summit. And for all those that are out there in cyberspace and online, as a beloved brother says, I'm not Colonel Sanders. He's from Kentucky. He likes my jacket. And I'm not Matlock. That's getting closer. He's from South Carolina originally, and incidentally, Matlock was filmed in Atlanta, Georgia. But that's where I'm from originally. So, with that in tow, we want to take a look at today about the way. What do I mean by the way? What way? Which way? Exactly what do I mean? There's some of us here and out on the internet. How many of you have been born in the faith, knowing Yahweh's name and the Sabbath? Quite a few have, but there's those of us that join, myself included, that was not born that way. We weren't raised that way. We were raised in nominal Christianity or raised without any faith at all. And as we grow in this, and as newly baptized brethren, we've seen throughout last Feast of Tabernacles, Passover, and also at Pentecost, and more to come. And we pray and ask Yahweh to bring more in to see the truth of His Word, the way which we'll understand more clearly. We have to understand that also there's an adversary working out here. And he's working diligently. He's been on the scene since before Adam and Eve. And what we got to understand is that in that time, even at Adam and Eve, he mixed a little truth with a little lie. And he disrupted Yahweh's paradise and set forth man on a course that we're still experiencing and haven't recovered from, and the result of his son Yahshua being sent. So to start off with, I put a lot on the board so you can follow along. Let's go to Matthew 7, verses 13 through 20, where it speaks of, "Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets." Now this is a warning that we need to take a look at. "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Men do gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." And as we search and we grow, we should know this as we walk and live in our daily lives and we have to interact with the world. We need to follow what Yahshua is showing here in Matthew 7:13 through 20. Now there's a lot of us out here that have had to do what has been pointed out here in Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, or the way they should go, the way she should go, the child. And when he is old, or when they are old, he will not depart from it. Okay, that is many things. There's the moralities, but also for those of you that were raised in sacred name, knowing the sacred names and the Sabbath, you were raised up being taught that. I wasn't raised that way. I had to learn it a different way. And I'm thankful for the mercy the Almighty Father Yahweh has bestowed upon me to be able to learn the truth. And then, you know, the key of it is, really, the key is the Sabbath day. If ever one could understand the Sabbath day, then for more truth follows. That's the way it was in my life. And then after that, I learned about Yahweh's name, the holy days, and Yahshua's name. So when we train up a child, we also, in training that child, we need to teach it the ways of the world. Because there is the way, and there's the ways of the world. Mark 1, 1 through 3 says, In the beginning of the good news of Yahshua Messiah, the son of Elohim, as it is written in the prophets, all in bold faces, is quotes from the Old Testament. Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Now this is talking about John the Baptist. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of Yahweh. Make his path straight. So here we hear mention of the word the way of Yahweh. Also, 1 John 4, 1 through 3. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Now this is something we need to take note of. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of Elohim. Now I don't believe this means go out and get involved in everything, but through the heart and through the spirit, to search out what is true. And things you read, things you hear, things you do. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of Elohim. Every spirit that confesses that Yahshua Messiah is come in the flesh is of Elohim. There's a key right there. If they talk against Yahshua, if they don't mention Yahshua, or he's not a part of it, then is that part of the way? And every spirit that confesses not that Yahshua Messiah is come in the flesh is not of Elohim. And this is that spirit of anti-Messiah, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. We all, growing up, our children, and as we were children, and even adults, we have to be cautious of the wiles of Hasatan, the adversary, and the way that he can fool and he can deceive. John 5:39 says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Now, Ephesians 4:11 through 15. We see here, it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. We spoke of this just recently in the past. For the perfecting of the saints. That's what they're for, is to guide the people and to help understand. It says that for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Messiah. It says, till we all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of Yahweh, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Messiah. Like a child in school, when they start first grade, they're learning to read. They're learning their ABCs. They're learning 1, 2, 3. And 1, 2, 3 equals 6. They're not learning calculus or algebra. That's down the road once they learn the foundations. This is the same with the truth and learning about Yahweh and about serving Him. We're on various different stages and understandings. And an admonition here is for the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers to help the others understand and grow and give warning. And today I'm here part in giving warning to the young people especially, but to give warning to us adults too, because even as grown adults, we can be pulled away from the way. Now we're going to take a look at I never finished there. That henceforth, that's what we need to be. No more children. We have to grow up and learn to not be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. We hear about the parables that Yahshua spoke about building the foundation on sand and on stone. The foundation that's being built over here, they had to dig down till they got to solid ground. They're pouring the concrete to build the foundations for this building here, that it will stand. And this is also a foundation within our faith and in our heart and our lives, that we have to have this foundation built as well, so that we're not pulled about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Messiah. So now we're going to take a look at an article that I pulled off of the internet to take a look at the faith and the way. 21st century religions, movements, and cults. You notice how they listed that. And go sometime and look up the definition of cult. I was just looking online, and they talk about sacred name movement. There's people that talk about that being a cult. Well, if they look at the definition of cult, Christianity falls in that term too. But what we want to look at is we need to find the way, not no other way, but the way of Yahweh. In this article, it was in July 1st of 2010, it lists 30 main faiths or beliefs that are throughout the world today. The first 10 are the major players, and all are well established. First, Christianity, Catholicism, Protestantism, and I'm going to trip over that, Baptist. Just wait, there's some more good ones to come with that. Islam, Arab paganism, jihad cults. We've heard these in the recent days. Hinduism, Kali cults. Atheist, agnostic, secular, self-empowerment cults. Now, this is one view. You can go, they're listed in different articles in a little bit different array, but this is the one I chose just for us to take a look. Neo-paganism, New Age, Rosicrucianism, Freemasonry, Classical Pagan Revivalism. So we're getting a mouthful. Zen, Buddhism, TM cults, Vodou, Santera, Diasporic Cargo cults. I've never heard of some of these. Primal Indigenous Aboriginal Culture. These are faces in the world today. Beliefs. Sikhism. Judaism, Kabbalah, Kabbalism. Now, the second 10, some are more obscure but are growing in numbers. There's Baal, Jinx, and some of these are small. They're led by one individual, and some of these, like the Baal and Jinx, they're in the Asian countries. Spiritism, Ecochian Magic, trance medium cults. We've heard of trances and mediums before. Jainism, along with Hinduism and Buddhism. Shinto. Kaldai. Zoroastrianism. Don't trip over it. Rastafarianism. Post-punk anarchism. Man. Can you imagine someone asking, oh, how do you believe? These people can't get it out of their mouth. Chinese traditional religion. Now, this is a wide range. They can't even really be defined. Because throughout the land, in the article, throughout the land, there was so many diversities that they just had to summarize it in one. In one category is Chinese traditional religion. Okay, and then number 20, universalism, unitarianism. Have you heard that word, unitarianism? Tarianism, if I get I actually used to work on copiers, and there was a, I'm going to take a break here for just a second, and I went to a Unitarian church to work on a copier. And it was a female minister was talking to me while I was working on the copier, and I asked the question. I can't remember what it was, but boy, I wish I hadn't asked the question. But she said, I asked something about who all come. And she goes, we have all kind. We have Methodist and Baptist and Catholic and atheist. And I'm like, what? And she said, oh, we just all come together. their universalism, their Unitarianism, engulfs all faiths, even lack of faith, so supposedly. The third 10 are more movements to be watching for as this century progresses forward. These are new. These are some. This is some we're going to take a look at here in just a moment. But Tenrico Yo Scientology, have you heard that name? 12-step programs. There's been a lot of those out there. All these seminars you go to, feel-good seminars. And what about? Feel good about yourself. All right, techno-paganism, shamanism, psychedelic utopianism. Okay. Tell you. I had some brief explanations on each of these, but I'm going to summarize it in one thing here in just a minute. Discordianism. What is that? Sowing discord? I don't know. Nihilism, topi, oto. Now, some of these are all kind of grouped together with the slashes because they all kind of have the same kind of thought, train, belief. Postmillennialism, apocalyptic and doomsday cults. You might have heard of some of those or some about. Starseed, Pleiadian, alien and UFO cults. People are caught up in this stuff. Arianism, we've heard of that. Neo-Nazi Zionism, secular Christian cults. And yes, there are some of the Christian factions that are way off, and I don't know where they exited the roots. Environmentalism, eco-apocalyptic cults. Now, environmentalism, you know, that's involved in today. Who has gained great power in this in the United States today is the EPA. EPA rules. You better not have to come up upon it or any of the environmentalists, the left-wing environmentalists. Satanism, Luciferianism. Look where that is. That's 29. Vampire cults, cyberneticism, artificial intelligence and biosynthetic cults. Okay, boy, we're really moving into the future there. Okay, the bottom line, here's 30 major things that are pulling people by the thousands, keeping them away from the truth of Yahweh, keeping them away from the scriptures. But a lot of these, the majority of these, you can sum up in one to two things. They're violating the first three commandments of the Ten Commandments. They have put other things before Yahweh. They put other Elohim before Yahweh. And a lot of them are self-centered, as we'll take a look at here. You've heard the word Gnosticism before. The definition of Gnosticism, and by the way, these are symbols. These are symbols of, if you see these symbols around, this is of these beliefs. Definition of Gnosticism was a second century heresy claiming that widgets, second century. This is back after the time Yahshua walked face of the earth. This is the time right after the disciples and the apostles. It says second century heresy claiming that salvation could be gained through secret knowledge. Edward Allen has talked about this before. Gnosticism is derived from the Greek word gnosis, meaning to know. But look at this second part here. Gnostics also believe, I put this on the board to read as I follow along as I read it, so that you can see the words, not just hear what I'm saying, you can see what is being written here, and you'll understand more clearly. It says that that the material world matter is evil and that only the spirit is good. They constructed an evil God and beings of the Old Testament to explain the creation of the world matter and considered Jesus a holy spiritual Elohim. I don't even like speaking the words, but to understand, I print them that way for you to see. Do you see how someone, and see, all these are all engulfing. They're peaceable, nice, loving. All I can say is like Adam and Eve. When the adversary told Eve, he said, surely you shall not die. You know, he said, he knows that you'll become, as I'm paraphrasing, of course, you'll know as good as good and evil as he does. And then what did it say? They seen that fruit was good to eat. So what was the bottom line? They disobeyed Yahweh. Adversary pulled them right into that. Humanism. Have you heard that word? Humanism. This is the sign, that little dark, black symbol in the middle. That's the happy human for humanism. And then the sign on the right you'll see a lot is the American Humanist Association. Good without what? Did you see what it says? Good without, I'll say Elohim. But what they're saying is they don't recognize an Almighty. Now, I want to lay a disclaimer on myself now. There's a lot of good teachers. There's a lot of good moral people in this life. And we're going to get into a realm here. But I want to say that this doesn't engulf everyone. But this is an agenda that's across the United States today. And I want to show how we're behind it. And because that the adversary is behind all of this, all he has to do is disrupt the family, disrupt the way. All of these that you've seen are ways that lead you from the way that we read about at the beginning. The definition: an outlook or system of thought attaching prime importance to human rather than divine or spiritual matters. Humanist beliefs stress the potential value and goodness of human beings, emphasize common human needs, and seek solely rational ways of solving human problems. They don't need a mighty one. We can solve our own problems. This is what they teach. But the shocking news is how far back this goes. I want to read right here. I didn't put this on the board, but from the American Humanist Association, that's that up in the right-hand corner. You notice it said advocating progressive values and equality for humanists, atheists, and free thinkers. How are those all grouped together? But you'll see why. This is from 1989 and 2008. It says the short answer of what is humanism, is you get the question, what is a humanist? Humanism depends on the sort of humanist you ask. Okay, boy, that's a variety there. The word humanism has a number of meanings, and because authors and speakers often don't clarify which meaning they intend, those trying to explain humanism can easily become a source of confusion. I'd say so. Fortunately, each meaning of the word continues a different type of humanism. Within humanism itself, there is literary humanism, Renaissance humanism, Western culture humanism, philosophical humanism, Christian humanism, modern humanism, secular humanism, religious humanism. Those are all divisions of this one belief. But where did this start? Do you know this started in 1933? There was 15 tenets to the Humanist Manifesto that was drawn up in 1933. The first paragraph of this manifesto reads the following: the time has come for widespread recognition of the radical changes in religious beliefs throughout the modern world. The time has passed for more revision in traditional attitudes. Science and economic change have disrupted the old beliefs. Religions of the world are under the necessity of coming to terms with new conditions created by a vastly increased knowledge and experience. In every field of human activity, the vital movement is now in the direction of a candid and explicit humanism. In order that religious humanism may be better understood, the undersigned desire to make certain affirmations which we believe the facts of our contemporary life demonstrate. Then it goes on that there's a few other paragraphs, but then there's 15 tenets that they express where they believe. The first tenet, we're not going through all of them, just a couple of them. The first tenet states, religious humanists regard the universe as self-existing and not created. There's their first and so believe. And anyone that has this belief in humanism, whatever their work or job is, they've made the vow and the purpose to stand by that and to teach that. Second, humanism believes that man is a part of nature and that he has emerged as a result of a continuous process. There's the fact of evolution. So they believe in no creator and evolution, so we know where that's headed. You see your school systems today and how things are going. Now I'll jump down to the 14th one. It says the humanists are finally convinced that existing accusative and profit-motivated society has shown itself to be inadequate, and that a radical change in methods, controls, and motives must be instituted. Hear what they said, radical change. A socialized and corporate economic order must be established to the end that the equitable disruption of the means of life be possible. The goal of humanism is a free and universal society in which people voluntarily and intellectually cooperate for the common good. Humanists demand a share of life in a shared world. That sounds familiar. Socialism. Okay. There was also a Humanist Manifesto too that was rewritten, updated in 1973. And then the latest Humanist Manifesto was made clear in 2003. A lot of these people, if you go to the website, to this website, American Humanist, and you look at the undersigned, the people that signed this, well, first of all, there's a lot of Unitarian pastors. There's a lot of professors. There's a lot of college educators. There's teachers. So where's their foundation? Where does the education go? They're the foothold of a children's education in this society. And they're teaching, they infiltrate. Like I said now, everybody that's a teacher, there's wonderful teachers. Good teachers, they were born. Some teachers are born and some are tried to be made. So this is not engulfing all teachers. But this is a pattern that we have to see that the adversary is pushing. There is one more statement before we leave humanism. This right here is in a seminar in 1973. The professor of education and psychiatry and faculty of medicine and a graduate school of education in Harvard University. Before this group of educators, this is the statement he made. And he's an advocate humanist. He said, every child in America entering school at the age of 5 is mentally ill because he comes to school with certain allegiances towards our founding fathers, toward our elected officials, toward his parents, towards a belief in a supernatural being, towards the sovereignty of this nation as a separate entity. It's up to you teachers to make all of these sick children well by creating the international children of the future. That's their goal. And you see it falling apart right before your very eyes this day in the school system we have today. This is one way to be pulled away from the way. Sub-definitions of humanism. Look where it originated. Renaissance cultural movement that turned away from medieval scholasticism and revived interest in ancient Greek and Roman thought. They went back to the Greek, the philosophers. And what started there? Gnosticism? Among some contemporary writers, a system of thought criticized as being centered on the notion of the rationale, autonomous self, and ignoring the unintegrated and conditioned nature of the individual. This is kind of further trying to defy humanism. And this is from the definition. Okay, now Scientology. We spoke of that briefly. Scientology is a body of beliefs and related practices created by science fiction writer L. Ron Hubbard from 1911 to 1986. Beginning in 1952 as an expansion of his earlier system that was called Dianetics, Hubbard characterized Scientology as a religion, and in 1953 he incorporated the Church of Scientology in Scientology in Camden University. Scientology teaches that people are immortal beings who have forgotten their true nature. Its method of spiritual rehabilitation is a type of counseling known as auditing, in which an author guides a subject into consciously re-experiencing painful or traumatic events in his past in order to free himself of the limiting effects of those events. Study materials and auditing sessions are made available to members on a free-for-service basis, which the church describes as a fixed donation. Do we see how these organizations, actually all their paths lead away from the narrow way, lead away from the true way? That's the adversary's whole purpose, is to pull those away, to fight against Yahweh. Dianetics, that was where Scientology deformed from. These are the symbols. Scientology was developed by L. Ron Hubbard as a successor to the earlier counseling system, Dianetics. Dianetics uses a counseling technique known as auditing, in which auditor assists a subject in conscious recall of traumatic events in the individual's past. It was originally intended to be a new psychotherapy and was not expected to become the foundation for a new religion. So this just happened to be a new religion because of what he practiced. Just trying to think if I wanted to highlight any more on Dianetics other than this. Hubbard variously defined Dianetics as a spiritual healing technology and an organized science of thought. The stated intent of Dianetics is to free individuals of the influence of past traumas. We heard that in the last ones. By systematic exposure and removal of the engrams these events have left behind, and in a progress called clearing. Okay. Controversies of this is, of the many new religious movements to appear during the 20th century, the Church of Scientology has, from its inception, been one of the most controversial, coming into conflict with the governments and police forces of several countries. So if you start to look into it, you'll see that they end up kind of in conflict with the governments of the countries they're in. And you know what? Yahshua made clear about that we were not supposed to come up against about those that rule over us. Okay. New Age movement. Do you notice the symbol of that? That was that same symbol as Gnosticism. Or very similar to, maybe shuffled symbols around a little bit. New Age religion is not a religion at all, so is defined, but a vast synchronism or mixing of numerous religions and philosophical ideas. Okay, that sounds about where we're in the Old Testament, and where we read about the pagan nations and about how the Israelites, they continued to adopt many different ways, how the pagan nations, they had multiple deities they worship. Here, they're pulling from numerous religious and philosophical ideas. This has been going on since the time of Alexander the Great, but was snuffed out under Christianity. And its enforced dogma starting around 325 A.D. That is a familiar date. If you'll think about that date, the Council of Nicaea. Alexander's vast empire reopened the door of Eastern religion and mysticism to move west, while Greek philosophy and reason moved east. The point being, these have been around. They're not just today. They've been around for a long time. The New Age movement, these are symbols of the New Age movement. Today, the same process continues, but on a global scale, in particular with the internet. This is how the New Age movement is expanding now, is through the internet. It has some similarities to ancient Gnosticism, adopting both its methods and its individual nature, most often rejecting reason and science. New Age religion, more than anything, is emotional, filling in a void left by a secular culture and discontent with traditional religious beliefs. So, for those emotionally filling in a void that's been left by not looking to the Scriptures. Modern environmentalism could be broadly classified into New Age religion because of its treatment as a pseudo-religion and the deification of nature. You know, one phrase we've all said before is, you know, and what they made a not butter commercial about it. You can't fool Mother Nature. There's a, in the New Age, is definitely a heterogeneous movement of individuals, most grafted, some by age beliefs on their regular religious affiliation. A recent survey says that these are in the New Age movement. 8% of them believe that astrology is a way of foretelling the future. 7% of them believe that crystals are a source of healing. Does anybody ever remember the crystal movement that came through, especially the stars? 9% believe that tarot cards are a reliable base of life decisions. Boy, can you imagine depending on that? About 1 in 4 believe in a non-traditional concept of the nature of the Almighty, which are often associated with New Age thinking. 11% believe that the Almighty is a state of higher consciousness that a person may reach. Now, that's something else. Several of these believe that you acquire that level, that you become as a deity yourself in your progress of their beliefs. 8% defined the Almighty is the total realization of personal human potential. 3% believe that each person is, this is what I'm talking about, each person is their own deity. This is where the thinking is taken on this. 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. Right before we read that, though, part of the practices of the New Age movement is channeling. We mentioned crystals, meditation, New Age music, divination, astrology, holistic health, and human potential of movement, emotional growth movement. That's kind of what summarizing that, where you grow to be a. I know an individual that's into the Kabbalah, and he's told me many times, he says, I'm above this now. I don't have to keep what's in here. It's in my mind. You know, I have risen above. This is their thinking. And what does it do? All it's doing is pulling you away from the way. 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of the Messiah. This is what we're seeing. This is what we're seeing today with these movements. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. This is what we have to be weary of and seek Yahweh. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. We have to be diligent at being sure that we prove everything from the Scriptures. And if part of it is not from the Scriptures, have you ever had a hard true and false test? You know, a true and false test can be tough. There can be 5 aspects of that test. 4 of them are true. 1 little bitty one is false. And it's the one that trips everybody up and they get it wrong. And that's all it takes. That's all it takes is him to get you off track. Ephesians 4:4-7. There is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One master, one faith, one baptism. One El and Father of all, who is above all and throughout all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Messiah. Okay, that right there, the 5th verse, one master, one faith, one baptism. All, the majority of those faiths that we looked at a while ago do not have that. They are just like the pagan deities, the nations around Israel that had multiple deities. But our word, in a sense, to understand the way is the Scriptures. And the Scriptures say one master, one faith, one baptism. Matthew 3, 1 through 3. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." We read one similar to this earlier. "For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of Yahweh, make his path straight." What was he was talking about? He was talking about repentance, but also he was foreshadowing Yahshua, the Messiah, that come. How does that fit in? Well, also Luke 3:4 says, prepare ye the way of Yahweh. Matthew 22:16, teach us the way of Elohim. Luke 20:19-21 says, teach us the way of Elohim. John 1:23 says, make straight the way of Yahweh. All of these are speaking of the way. So how do we define the way? Well, first of all, John 14:15, Yahshua said, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 15:10 says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Yahshua set the example for us for that way. How do we see that way? 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. When we look at, you know, a lot of people look at the Old Testament as, oh, that's old. We don't have to abide by that no more. I've read some Christians' thoughts on that, and they don't understand. If you look in the history, time and time again, Yahweh said through Father Abraham, he said that he wanted them to be his nation. If you abide in my guidance, if you will keep my commandments, my statutes and my judgments, I will be your Elohim and you will be my people. He also promised them, said, you will rule nations, you will teach nations. He also told them that you shall enter in and I will give you a habitation of cities that have already been built with all of its wealth, all of its agriculture. Yahweh told them that if he would abide and follow in his way, you can go read this in Deuteronomy and in Leviticus and Numbers. And he told them that he said, I will fight your battles for you. Yahweh made promise that he would fight the battles if we would obey, but the children of Israel fell many times. Yahweh wants us to be a chosen generation, a chosen people, but we have to stay and focus on the way. We cannot be taken by every wind of doctrine to be pulled away from the understanding of the truth. Joshua 24:15 says, Joshua says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve Yahweh, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the mighty ones which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the mighty ones of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh. So who will we serve? Will we try to focus on that way? So once again, we come back to the way. It's good you brought those scriptures, Brother Steve, because those are ones I had not planned to put about the way, but it falls right in place, the way. So what is the way? John 14:4-6 says, and whither I go ye know, this is Yahshua speaking, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Master, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? How do we know the way? He asked Yahshua a question. What did Yahshua say? Yahshua saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is your way to follow Yahshua, his life that he lived. This is your how-to book. This is your, what do they call it? This is your directions. The Bible is the all-encompassing what you need that leads up to, prophesies of, and records the life of Yahshua and the example he set. Yahshua said, I am the way. This is the way. Previously I spoke about a fork in the road, about choosing the right path. So Yahshua being the way, not these other ways, but Yahshua says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So as I learned later in life and understood, and to summarize that, my mother understood the Sabbath before I did, and some of you know this already, but, and I, don't hold it against me, I've said this before too, but I was raised a Methodist, and but it was a religious foundation with moral values, not like some people are today. And as a teenager, I had to find something different, so I tried out the Pentecostal movement. And then I walked away from everything, but my mother learned of the Sabbath, and I was so intent that she was so wrong. I studied for weeks, went through every scripture of Sabbath in the scriptures. Looked, tried to find Sunday in there, and I couldn't find it. Looked up first day. Everything you can imagine to prove my mother was gone off track. And I proved her right and me wrong. And then that set the key in me. Of course, there were so many years that passed from that. And then we go from there where we were keeping the Sabbath. And then the time come where I learned the name Yahweh. I couldn't wait. It was on Sabbath. I couldn't wait till Sunday. I was standing at the library door when they opened. Pushed them aside so I could get to the encyclopedias and dictionaries. I wanted to learn about this name. And I proved that. So, for those that are born in the faith, still you have to watch that nothing pull you to the side. And no lies come to you to set you apart. And for those that are what some refer to as first generation like me, I learned it, basically had to study and learn it on my own. I diligently pray that the adversary doesn't have his way. Now, I do get frustrated with the ways of the world, but, you know, I calm myself down by saying, you know what? It's prophesied in here that this is the way it's going to happen. It's not the way, but it's what's going to happen. And that we pray that Yahweh have mercy upon all that seek his name and faith and truth. So let's remember that Yahshua said that he's the way. And that's who we need to focus on, is Yahshua's life, his character, what he did, how he lived, and incorporate it into our lives that we, hopefully one day, each of us, will experience Yahshua's blood being spread upon the mercy seat, telling his Father that they are worthy of being able to enter into eternal life. So may Yahweh bless, and hallelujah. Hallelujah.